So I think that the 49ers bye week came at the perfect time this year, not just for the rest of the team, for my rest as well, but for talking about the trade deadline. We're not distracted right now by another game coming up. Nothing for the 49ers in that regard this weekend. Obviously, they play at Tampa Bay on November 10th. There's a good chance that Christian McCaffrey will be back for that football game. Dre Greenlaw, maybe not too long after that. 49ers will pick up pieces that are already on their roster but have been unable to contribute this season due to injury moving forward. But they can also bring in players from elsewhere before the trade deadline, which falls on November 5th. And I think that a defensive lineman is the most likely pickup for the 49ers, and I can explain why. Up on the San Francisco Standard today, Tim Kawakami has a nice article which operates under the same premise that I just stated. The 49ers love midseason trades. Here's a possible target list, and he's pictured three defensive linemen, including one who's already been with the 49ers. On the right, that is Sebastian Joseph Day. I'm in the studio in Nashville right now, by the way. Sebastian Joseph Day wearing the Titans uniform, so that fits. But that's Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals on the left. That's Azeez Ojulari from the New York Giants in the middle. The team most likely to be selling is the Tennessee Titans, but the New York Giants are not an impressive football team either. Mike texts me saying Arden Key needs to be on the trade list. Yes, Arden Key is on the trade list. Arden Key, Tennessee Titans, speaking of Nashville, where we are right now. You know, speaking of Nashville, as we get into this trade list, I need to airdrop this to my computer and put it up on the screen. Last night, we are at a birthday party, my wife and I. We go to a place called Tailgate Brewing, not too far away from our house here in Nashville. And at Tailgate Brewing, there's like a little barn in the back. And I walk into the barn because I'm like, okay, what's up with this? It looks like an extra bar or something. And I walk in and this is what I find. A 49ers flag, a projector TV, another 49ers flag. This is the San Francisco Mid-South Niner Empire, and a third 49ers flag. So this was not planned at all, but I found the 49ers bar in Nashville, which is at this cool little brewery, Tailgate Brewing, where you could see their mural on the wall. And they've got a little side barn right behind the main brewery, which looks like this, which is the home of the 49ers bar. So if anybody's here from the Mid-South Niner Empire, that chapter of the Niner Empire, here's their flag. I'll pause on their flag because I think they've got a cool flag. If anybody's part of this organization, raise your hand in the comment section. Look, they've got the state of Tennessee in the S of the San Francisco. It's a guitar, by the way. Those of you who couldn't see it, Mid-South, part of the guitar. That's the 49ers fan club that meets in this place called the Barn at Tailgate Brewing. Anyway, I thought that was neat, and I thought I would share it with you guys. That was last night. Literally, randomly stumbled into there. Did not expect to find three 49ers flags. Anyway, back to trade talk. This is Tim's article. This is in the description. You go check out the San Francisco Standard. Trades in the past for the 49ers have heavily been occurring in the defensive line room. And there are a few reasons why. First, let's go through the history of what the 49ers have done trade-wise in that D-line room. 2020, they picked up Jordan Willis. That was a seventh-round pick swap, essentially, with the New York Jets. Jordan Willis ended up being a very valuable contributor for the 49ers. Remember, he blocked the punt in the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers that Talanoa Hufanga picked up and returned into the end zone. So a season later, when the 49ers said, look, we can get a valuable rotational piece for our defensive line and for our special teams for a very competitive price, they said, why not do it again? So in 2021, the 49ers traded with the Texans. It took a sixth-round pick to bring in Charles Amenihu. And he was very, very valuable with 2 years still on his contract to the 49ers. He beat Tyron Smith multiple times in that wild card playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys in 2021. Technically 2022, but it was the 2021 season. Amenihu signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that earned the 49ers some compensatory pick value after he left in free agency. But for the price of a sixth-round pick and then a very low-priced contract in 2021 down the stretch and then for the full season in 2022, 49ers got quite the bargain with Charles Amenihu. That was much less expensive than what they paid a couple years later, last season in 2023 before the deadline, to acquire Chase Young. Now, that one was a third-round pick for Chase Young. And after that was after they had picked up Randy Gregory for, I believe that was also something like a seventh-round pick swap. Randy Gregory did not cost the 49ers a lot of draft capital at all. So they basically picked up two defensive linemen. I think they hoped that Chase Young would be a higher caliber player for them, especially against the run. I know that they saw some of those effort issues in the NFC Championship game. But he did improve their defensive line. They were very, very deficient in the spot opposite Nick Bosa at that edge rusher position last year. And getting Gregory and then getting Chase Young did help that position. Obviously, they ultimately did make it to the Super Bowl. And you know what? Chase Young and Randy Gregory both showed up to play in that Super Bowl, where they held Patrick Mahomes and company to only 19 points in regulation. And would Mahomes and company have scored even 19 points had it not been for the special teams screw up where the punt hit Darrell Luter Jr.'s legs? I don't think so. I think they would have held Kansas City to 12 to 15 points if not for special teams. So that was a great defensive performance from the 49ers for a lot of that game in the Super Bowl. And I think that part of the reason they were able to do that is the defensive line depth. Two players in that crop of depth had been acquired by trade. So anyway, we look at where the 49ers were last year and who they acquired. Why don't we take a look at the state of their defensive line this season? I put this together. It's going to be coming out on the San Francisco Standard in a midterm evaluation article probably tomorrow. But top half of this chart are defensive ends. Bottom half of this chart are defensive tackles. You'll notice no Kalia Davis and no Robert Beal on here. Those players don't have enough snaps yet to qualify in pass rushing. Davis is right under Evan Anderson in terms of pass rushing snaps. He's in the 20s already. And Robert Beal Jr., I believe, also in the 20s, but didn't have enough to qualify here. So I could tell you that Davis doesn't have any pressures in his 20-something pass rushing snaps, and Robert Beal has one. I believe Beal's one out of 20-something snaps. So neither of those two players has been productive in terms of pass rushing. But if you look at the players who we do have qualified for this table, it is an impressive performance from the 49ers. PRP percentile is pass rushing productivity percentile score. So that's how, whatever number you have, you are better than that percentage of qualifying defensive linemen in terms of pass rushing productivity. First off, Nick Bosa leads the entire league in pressures. But when it comes to pass rushing productivity, he leads 83% of edge rushers because he's had more opportunities. He's had 273 pass rushing snaps. The darker the percentile number, the better the performance. So Bosa, 83rd percentile performer. Sam Okwuonu, 83rd percentile performer against qualifying candidates. And we're measuring defensive ends against defensive ends and defensive tackles against defensive tackles. Leonard Floyd has been a little bit better than Chase Young was in terms of pass rushing productivity. Chase Young was about 50th percentile. Leonard Floyd is 53rd. So he's above average, but Floyd has actually been better against the run than Chase Young. And the 49ers' worst performer out of the usual defensive linemen or defensive ends here has been Yetur Gross-Matos, but he's also been hurt on and off with a knee injury, so only 50 pass rushing snaps. Small sample, I wouldn't hold it against him. He's at the 22nd percentile. What might surprise people is how good the scores are at defensive tackle. Obviously, Javon Hargrave is currently unavailable, but there's a chance that he's back at some point this season for the 49ers. 89th percentile. Kevin Givens has stepped it up. He's turned from under 50th percentile to above 85th percentile this year. He's been really good over his 108 pass rushing snaps. Have to tip your cap. And I think Malik Collins has been solid as well. 70th percentile. How about the very bottom here, Evan Anderson? I know that it's only 26 pass rushing snaps, but four pressures would put Evan Anderson in the 100th percentile. It's tough to get that many pressures in that few snaps. Obviously doing much better than somebody like Jordan Elliott, who's also been dealing with injuries. But Elliott's more of a run stuffer for the 49ers. He's only second percentile, though, in terms of his ability to get to the quarterback. Now, pass rushing productivity is going to be measured by pressures, by quarterback hits, and also by sacks. Each of those are weighed in a different way. So this is what the 49ers defensive line looks like right now. And by showing that to you, we can talk about where they might look to pick up more players. Yes, there is a lot of darker color, which is good on the right side of this table. But I also think that the 49ers can still afford to add to the room, especially up here at defensive end with Yetur Gross-Matos currently out. They expect him back around week 11, by the way. I think it's totally plausible to believe that the 49ers could be in the hunt for more defensive end depth. Nick Bosa is one of the best in the game. Leonard Floyd has got a high motor. He's going to be a valuable piece of this football team, already has been. And Sam Okwuonu has splashed onto the scene. He's been a godsend for the 49ers with the productivity that he's brought. But you essentially, especially with Yetur Gross-Matos currently hurt, you fall off a cliff after those first three positions. So why not talk about the potential to add to this defensive end room? And at defensive tackle, yeah, you've got a lot of dark here too, which is good in these colors in the pass rushing productivity percentile. But Javon Hargrave might be out for the whole season, might return for the playoffs. So that's already one of your highest scores eliminated. Evan Anderson doesn't have nearly as many snaps. He's an undrafted rookie. He's been playing well, but you're not going to hang your hat on Evan Anderson's performance alone. And Malik Collins has been solid, but not great. So that leaves Kevin Givens, who's been really good with the percentile number, but hasn't played as much and obviously missed last week with the groin. So I think that both of these positions, defensive end and defensive tackle, are positions that could use another body to make the 49ers better. They're sending Robert Beal Jr. out there at the defensive end position without a lot of success. They've had to call T.Y. McGill up at defensive tackle. So that obviously shows you that they could use another body in that regard as well. So when we start talking about guys that the 49ers might be able to plug in, we have to divide it by end and tackle. But I think that, you know, you have to examine what the chances of somebody like Azeez Ojulari are. Now, I will say that somebody like Azeez Ojulari of the New York Giants weighs about 240 pounds. He's not an every down defensive end in terms of, okay, he can stop the run. You need to be at least 260 to be an every down defensive end, probably more. I would say 265, 270 might be the ideal weight so you can set edges and do all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be two types of edge rushers that are potentially available in the trade market. One, the speed rushing type, the D Ford size in the 240 to 245 range, but probably not as good against the run. And two, you're going to have the more complete defensive end, somebody like Chase Young, high pedigree kind of guy, obviously was coming off the knee injury, so wasn't his self from his rookie of the year season, but or defensive rookie of the year season, but you still pay more for a player like that. So the cost for Chase Young was a third round compensatory pick last season for San Francisco. They might be able to pick up somebody like Azeez Ojulari for a fifth, maybe a sixth round pick. You know, you have Tim Kawakami pointed out Trey Hendrickson right here from the Bengals. I don't see why the Bengals would be in a selling mode though. They've got Burrow at their quarterback spot and they can still go on a run. So that's one of those things where you can't sit there and hope that if you're the 49ers, that specific guys are going to come available. You're going to be ready to pounce on opportunities in real time as they do arise. So there's Ojulari, and then there's Za'Darius Smith of the Browns. And this, to me, is extremely intriguing. 32-year-old edge rusher. He's played for the Packers, played for the Vikings. Now he's with Cleveland. Still playing high-level football. If the 49ers are ready to truly spend, we know that they've already been in talks with the Cleveland Browns. We know that the Browns might be in selling mode. Deshaun Watson was already one of the worst quarterbacks in the game, and he's hurt now, so maybe they've improved a bit at the QB position. But boy, the 49ers and Cleveland, this could be a move that really benefits San Francisco. You go to Tim's article on the trades. Look, they've got Za'Darius Smith right in there. So make sure you go ahead and check that out up on the San Francisco Standard. Link is in the description. Za'Darius, going through his numbers year by year, he already has a couple stacks this year. I'm going to open this back up just so we have a clear view of what his production has been. He used to give the 49ers some trouble, even though they consistently beat the Packers. Although last year he was on Minnesota and they beat the 49ers. But Za'Darius Smith is 32 years old. So he's not the youngest player. He's got a couple years left on his contract this year and the one after that. So you'd be inheriting a player for next year on age 33 of his deal. But again, if this is going to add juice to the other side of your pass rush opposite Nick Bosa, that's something that you're going to examine if you're the 49ers. Point blank, whenever we've seen the 49ers make a trade, it's usually been geared toward the defensive line. And becoming the overwhelming force up there, the 49ers feel can be an engine toward a Super Bowl win. I mentioned Calais Campbell. Campbell. I mentioned Calais Campbell in the headline. He's with the Dolphins right now. They're 2-5. If Miami loses one more game and drops to 2-6, they might be in sell heavy mode. Campbell, again, at 38, that's not young, but he's already got two sacks this year. Last year, his pass rushing grade was really good at age 37. It's a name to keep an eye on, especially if Miami loses this weekend. Ojulari is younger. He's not 38. Ojulari is, I think, 24. Yeah, he's 24 years old. So if you're looking for a longer-term bookend, somebody you might be able to re-sign, somebody that you might be interested in re-signing, I think that's why Brad Graham likes Azeez Ojulari so much. Tim Kawakami brought up in his San Francisco Standard article, Trayvon Walker, the former top pick of Jacksonville. I don't think that Tim believes this is all too realistic, but Trayvon Walker is out there as well. Then, of course, he brings up Sebastian Joseph Day. We talked about him a few minutes ago. That would be more of an interior addition for the 49ers. Speaking of those, you know, I've just been talking about edge rushers so far, so we can go back here. The interior also needs help for the 49ers. No question about it. Extra bodies here, especially with Hargrave out, with Elliott not being a particularly productive pass rusher, you could absolutely use another body on the inside. Because winning inside is the way to really overwhelm opponents in these games. So given the 49ers' track record, given their history, I think that a D-line trade is most likely, and it's very clearly needed through depth. The guy that you acquire doesn't necessarily have to be a starting caliber top-line player. But he does have to be good enough to improve their rotation, which right now, at least for the 49ers, is still running some players who just aren't moving the needle for them. As I mentioned, somebody like Robert Beal Jr., not even on this chart, with a very bad pass rushing productivity score. Somebody like Kalia Davis, really impressive interception against the Patriots, but he has not delivered a quarterback pressure over his 41 stats. I'm going to be right back. I have to check on something. I just heard the doorbell ring. So let me put up the be right back message. Stick with me. Stream is going to continue in just a second. All right, I am back, and we can continue 49ers intel here at trade deadline time. Promise, I'm back. It's not just my voice. You can now see me on the screen as well. So, Calais Campbell's a name that I hadn't really heard tossed around there. But at 38, with the Dolphins at 2-5, in danger of going down to 2-6, it definitely is something that can be discussed, at least in the form of a list. Za'Darius Smith, absolutely, too. I know the Browns just won, so there might be a little bit of newfound hope there with Jameis Winston having taken over for Deshaun Watson. But smart team, and I don't know if the Browns are smart team would be considering moving a veteran player to a more serious contender. Mentioned Trayvon Walker, Sebastian Joseph Day, Arden Key. You know, it's crazy, but funny, and it makes sense to me why Tim Kawakami in his piece put this guy, Chase Young, as one of the candidates, but they traded for him last year. He did make the 49ers better. Was he as good as they wanted him to be because of the third round pick they gave up? No, but I think that Chase Young would almost certainly cost less capital for the 49ers this season. So deadline is less than a week away. John Lynch spoke today about potential moves, and one of his main points was, we are going to get stronger with the guys who are returning in a trade acquisition kind of way. Those are the boosts that the 49ers expect. And he listed McCaffrey, Hargrave, Tano Hufanga, a lot of players that are hurt right now that have a chance to come back this season. So the 49ers do count on getting better that way. But more often than not, they have gotten better through another avenue. But the emphasis was they have to find the correct players, the good fits that can actually make that happen. I'm ready to take some questions about guys that might potentially come in for San Francisco. So let's move this to a 49ers Q&A. And, you know, I should also put up the roster up on the screen. Because what I think this does is I think that it helps people visualize where the 49ers must improve. But 49ers Q&A is here, so please ask your questions. Kenny asks, is DeForest Buckner a pipe dream? Yes, I would say so. I think they just recently redid his deal in Indianapolis, which would make it even more expensive. I don't know if the 49ers need an alpha top dog defensive lineman. I think they already have that guy on their team. I do think that they need guys at the margins more than anything. I think it's the most realistic way for San Francisco to change their fortunes this year. Now, the fortunes haven't been terrible. And for that, I offer an exhibit here. This comes from the SF Data 49ers account, which I've been supporting lately. I think he puts out a lot of smart stuff. I just gave him a plug on Twitter, so we might as well give him a plug on YouTube. I'm looking for, here it is. So this right here, as soon as I can find a way to get it open on the screen, this is turning into a little bit more of a project than I hoped it would be. We've got, okay, it's on the spreadsheet. I'm looking for the way that I could put another graphic up on the screen for you. It gets complicated on this big screen, but we have this very close to being ready. I think I just got it. Yes, I did. Good. This was put up by that 49ers data account that I was talking about. This should help everybody understand where the 49ers are as a football team efficiency-wise and what can help them as they try to add moving forward. DVOA is defense adjusted value over average. It's a stat that tracks efficiency, that keeps track of who a team is playing. So if you lose a game to one of the best rated teams in football, you're not going to suffer on this chart, on this graph, as much as if you lose a game to one of the worst teams in football. Offense is measured left to right, so further to the right is better. Defense is measured vertically, so further up is better. This should be good perspective. Too bad there's no tier charts in here, as lines in here as well, the diagonal lines, which the team tier graphic shows us. But this is still good perspective. The 49ers, the Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions, and the Kansas City Chiefs have been very, very similar in terms of DVOA profile. Ravens way out here. Their defense isn't nearly as good, but the 49ers are here in the thick of contention. If we artificially drew the diagonal lines across this, I would say that tier one might be the Ravens, the Bills, and the Lions, and tier two might be the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Packers. Obviously, more NFC teams involved in that mix than AFC. But this right here is a good illustration that the sky is not falling in San Francisco. Can they get better? Absolutely. But, I mean, they're still in not a bad spot, with offensive DVOA moving them farther to the right and defensive DVOA moving them farther up, especially considering the fact that Detroit's looked like an outlier over the past several weeks. This is historically a good outlier. The fact that the 49ers' DVOA efficiency isn't too far behind Detroit's is significant. Shout out to the 559. Mike knows what I mean. I'm not going to say anymore. But shout out to the 559. That is the home area code. Those guys, miss you guys. Visalia, Tulare, Hanford, Fresno, obviously. That's in the 559 as well, not the 209. A lot of 49ers fans in all those places. All right, I'm ready to take some questions. Let's go. Greg asks, what are the chances the 49ers get Za'Darius Smith from 1 to 100? Gosh, putting a number on it's really difficult. It all depends on if Cleveland's willing to trade and for what price. I'd say Za'Darius Smith is one of the legitimate candidates on the list, even though he's 32 years old. So we'll keep it at that. I'm not going to sit here and give you probabilities, but I will talk about the possibilities. And one of them is Za'Darius Smith. Another possibility along the edge, we talked about Calais Campbell. We talked about Aziz Ojulari. Za'Darius is a little bigger, a little heavier than your just standard cover linebacker type. And I think that the 49ers really want an actual edge rusher if that's what they trade for. Now, we could talk about the defensive tackle position too, because I think they need to firm up their run defense. So Devon Gotcho from the New England Patriots is absolutely a candidate for the 49ers. That's been even rumored in the media a few times. Dalvin Tomlinson is available. That would be insane if the 49ers could pick up Dalvin, help shore up that inside moving forward. But Za'Darius Smith, I would say that the chances aren't remote. They might not be good. It's hard to execute a trade, but I wouldn't say that they're remote. Smith has a high cap number for last season. Well, why don't we look at his contract to see what that's about? Za'Darius Smith over the cap. Here is his contract. It is 2024, $1.2 million base salary. 2025, $1.5 million base salary. No, he doesn't have a high cap hit next year for a potential acquiring team. He might have a high cap hit right now for the Cleveland Browns, but that's because they paid out a big-time signing bonus. That money stretched against the cap of the Browns for the next 5 years. It's not stretched into the cap of an acquiring team. If the 49ers were to pick up Za'Darius Smith now, they would owe him about half of this, $1.21 million, and nothing else. They owe him about $600,000, maybe a little bit more in this 2024 season. Then they'd also have rights to Za'Darius Smith next season, his age 33 year, at a base salary of $1.5 million, plus some workout and roster bonus money. In fact, the roster bonus money is greater than the base salary next year for Za'Darius Smith. Either way, the cap number is totally manageable for him. So you can't look at the signing bonus. This is why trades can be beneficial financially. You have to look at what the team still has to actually pay him. And if they've already paid him a signing bonus, that's going to be on that team's books. The salary cap only includes what you yourself have paid to players. So the 49ers could financially get around some of this stuff. Conrad asks if Ambry Thomas is coming back soon. You know, the 49ers hope not, and there's nothing against Ambry Thomas, but more for the players that they have. They're not going to mess with the really good cornerback room unless there's an injury, because that's the truth of the matter right now. They still have Rock Ya-Sin waiting on the bench, who I believe is above Ambry Thomas in the pecking order. So they can wait until the time is absolutely right, and they can wait even longer than then before activating Dante Pettis, at least to his practice window. Scott asks, when is the last day to make trades? I want to put this up on the screen there. We'll get to Mike's message in a second. That one actually popped up on the screen. November 5th, Election Day, happens to be the last day to make trades. I believe 1 p.m. Pacific time is the trade deadline on November 5th. Then Mike said, 49ers should call the Jets on C.J. Mosley. Linebacker. Yeah, I mean, the Jets, they're going to keep on fighting here. They play tomorrow night. They play the Texans. If they fall to 2-7, New York, okay, then we're talking potential white flag time to start selling some of their players. C.J. Mosley, obviously a really, really good linebacker. Now, that would be something, right? What if you bring C.J. Mosley into San Francisco and you've got Fred Warner, by the way, the number one graded coverage defender in the NFL, the highest coverage grade in the whole league, regardless of position, including cornerbacks, is Mr. Fred Warner. C.J. Mosley's also a really good linebacker in coverage. Then you're anticipating Dre Greenlaw coming back. What was one of the weaknesses that the Chiefs exploited in the Super Bowl last year? That's right, the 49ers' depth at linebacker. You could have Dre Greenlaw coming back from his Achilles, work in slowly as the team's number three linebacker. I don't hate the C.J. Mosley trade idea at all. 49ers have traded away a linebacker before the deadline before. That was Quan Alexander back in 2020 to the Saints. Remember, the Saints were contenders that year, only to drop to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, that was the 2020 season. That's crazy. Seems so... I can't tell if it was a long time ago or a short time ago, but it's just confusing. It's like we've been in some kind of time warp. But I would not be averse to the 49ers making a call on C.J. Mosley. That is right. They absolutely could use linebackers. What are you talking about? Linebackers are harder to get, but the 49ers, last season after Dre Greenlaw went down in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes targeted Oren Burks in coverage 9 times for 9 completions. Linebacker is always a need in this league, especially the way that the 49ers run their defense with the wide 9. So you got a lot of room in between the defensive linemen. The linebackers have to be very athletic to clean up the mess. And just in general, the NFL is very, very big nowadays on running backs out of the backfield, tight ends catching the ball. Linebackers are the position that can combat that. And Kenny points out that Greenlaw is no guarantee to be back fully. until next season. That's absolutely right. Mike adds on to that. You don't know what Greenwald will look like when he's back, if he's back. I think that they're very, very optimistic about Greenlaw. The update on that front is that it could be sooner rather than later, not right after the bye, but in the weeks after that. But it is an Achilles, and it's not like Greenlaw was 18 or 19 years old, where I think the recoveries are very good if you've got a good surgeon. He's 26. Now, he wasn't Bowman's age. Remember, Navarro Bowman tore his Achilles at 28 or even 29, was it? But he is, I mean, we just don't know, is my point. I think there's reason for optimism and reason for concern regarding the level of speed and agility that we're going to see from Dre Greenlaw when he does return. Eric says, CJ, Mosley, Fred Warner, and Dre Greenlaw would be scary. Thank you to Eric there. But yeah, I 100% agree with him. I mean, if you're always looking for the best linebacking core in the league, that would do it for the 49ers. Now, everything's going to be a matter of price, right? So I talk about Azeez Ojulari. Is that going to be a sixth round pick? Will that necessitate a six? Then the 49ers have to decide, is that worth a six? Because somebody like Azeez Ojulari, you probably have to take off the field on running downs, and run defense is one of your bigger weaknesses statistically right now for the 49ers. He's only 240 pounds. So then you talk about somebody like Za'Darius Smith, who's going to be on the field a little bit more experienced and accomplished pass rusher. Then the price starts rising. How much would Za'Darius cost? A four? Probably a four, right? Somewhere around there. Then if you're the 49ers, yeah, you got to be careful about stuff like that. Malik Mustafa was a fourth rounder. They picked some good guys in the fourth round in their years. So whoever you do trade for, if they cost a third or a fourth, that's an opportunity cost. That's the chance lost at swinging for a player who could be pretty damn good. The chances aren't bad. They're not great, but they're not bad around that third and the fourth round. And then, I mean, any draft pick is valuable. Brock Purdy was a seventh rounder. He was the very last pick. So even if it's a pick swap in the seventh round, there is an opportunity cost in terms of probability. You just want to be included? There you go, Raul. Thank you so much. You hopefully feel included. I appreciate that. That's a nice cup of coffee for me. You're helping fund the show. So thanks, man. We've got a list of stuff that needs to be upgraded here from a commenter. I wouldn't say needs to be upgraded. Like, if you say, oh, this needs to be upgraded, or the 49ers, you know, won't be able to reach their goal. Listen, they're and SF Data 49ers had the graph here of DVOA. This is where the 49ers are, right? Offensive DVOA is X-axis, defensive DVOA is Y-axis. They're up here in a cluster of really good teams. So nothing needs to be upgraded. Could it use an upgrade? Yes. And I'm up on the San Francisco Standard. I'm going to have a full midseason performance review coming out the next couple of days. So we'll get into that. But the 49ers are in a good position. They're in a position of power, position of luxury here, to where they don't have a single spot on this team that is like, oh my God, this is leaking so much oil that it's derailing everything else. That just doesn't exist on this team. This is a really, really good roster, even with the injuries. But, you know, to honor your point here, I would say that linebacker can use an upgrade. Defensive tackle can use an upgrade. Let me go back to this right here. This is the defensive line. Darker colors are better on the right side. They've got a lot of good darker colors here as far as high percentile rank. Defensive end, top half, defensive tackle, bottom half. But yes, they can still add at those positions to get a little bit better. Alan says, looking at the roster, it's old. Well, it's the second oldest roster by average in football, but the reason it's that high is because you've got a lot of older players who are really good. Like, are you just going to cut Trent Williams, who's 36, to make the roster younger? No, it's one of the best players in football. Are you just going to cut George Kittle to make the roster younger? No, he's one of the best players in football. So on and so forth. It's when guys are old but not contributing that it's a problem. Now, they have mixed the older players with a sensational rookie class, at least so far. I mean, we're talking sensational. When you go from Ricky Pearsall, who's now contributing, to Renardo Green, to Dominic Pooney, who hasn't given up a sack since he was at Central Missouri years ago. Hasn't given up. You have to go back two or three levels of football to find the last time Dominic Pooney has given up a sack. To Malik Mustafa, just wait till I show you some Mustafa stats once I'm done with some of these defensive appraisals. I'll show that to you next couple of days. It's going to be up on the San Francisco Standard. We'll talk about it on the channel as well. I mean, Isaac Garendo in this past draft. I'm going down the entire draft class, and there essentially are no disappointments for the 49ers. So there are young, good players on this team that have mixed with the older grizzled veterans. Whereas the average age might be the second oldest in the league, I think the 49ers have the sweet spot attained right now. When you have that mix between the all-pro grizzled veteran and the rambunctious young talent that is getting things done, might be making some mistakes, but is infusing that roster with youthful energy, I think the 49ers have that right now. So I wouldn't be all too concerned about the average age of the 49ers roster. As long as they hit on these draft classes, and they did on the 2024 draft class, they're going to be in a good spot to sustain things. I wouldn't be worried about John Lynch and the 49ers and their activity before the trade deadline. They have been the most aggressive front office since they joined in terms of signing players, trading for players. We've gotten to the point where we expect the 49ers to make multiple moves every year. There could be a year where they don't see anything that offers the type of value that they need. This might be it. I personally think they're going to make a trade. Tim Kawakami, he's got the good article up on the San Francisco Standard. He thinks they're going to make a trade. Again, if you want to see Tim's work, go up here. So we'll see what they do. But even the 49ers don't know exactly what they'll do, because it's all going to depend on availability. It takes two to tango. We'll take another team coming in with a potential deal for the 49ers to try to negotiate a deal of their own. You can't just set up a trade and then force the other team to take it like you can in a video game. The comment here says, Garendo and Pearsall will be the 49ers' future weapons. Garendo and Pearsall are the current weapons for San Francisco. Garendo and Pearsall are delivering now. And we said that entering the season, that the 49ers were going to have to get contributions immediately from this rookie class. Mike just sent me something really funny. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. The rookie class this year was not going to be one that had the luxury of waiting around to develop and then maybe in 2025 and 2026 contribute. The 49ers, coming off of three straight seasons during which they had 20 games in each of the past three seasons, as many as the Chiefs, 60 total regular season and postseason games, entered this year tired, entered this year bruised, and entered this year needing a youth infusion to raise the tide of all boats. And that rookie class was going to have to be it. Isaac Grendo, a member of the rookie class. Ricky Pearsall, a member of the rookie class. Both of these guys are contributing, and they're only two of the, six, seven, or eight rookies who have contributed so far this year. So it's not just the future, it's the now for this rookie class. Now we're going to find out if the 49ers can bring in more via that trade. Because that absolutely is what should be on people's minds next. November 5th is the trade deadline. We have the article from Tim Kawakami up on the San Francisco Standard. I just put it on the screen. Trey Hendrick said, I don't know if the Bengals would be willing to trade him. Azeez Ojulari is a possibility. But again, there's two types of defensive ends. You've got your bigger, the bruisers, right? You've got your bigger guys who are like the Chase Young types, the 265, 270 pounders. Chase might have been even heavier than that. That can play the run, theoretically. I know there were the effort issues with Chase Young. Then you've got your lighter types who are pass rushing specialists. Defensive tackle is fascinating. Sebastian Joseph Day hadn't played in the 49ers system until last year. Was a contributor for them. Didn't play a whole lot of snaps, but was active throughout the playoffs. I wonder, because I do think that there have been some holes on run defense. They ranked number 17 in EPA against the run ever since week four after the Rams game, after Javon Hargrave got hurt. They've upped it from the low 20s to the middle of the pack. I think the 49ers should be trying as hard as they can to get that run defense up to number 10 or so. I think that would unlock a lot of possibilities for this football team. Stop the run and have some fun, right? So somebody like Davon Godshaw of the Patriots, and we know the Patriots will be selling this year. They already are selling this year. Saw Uche head over to the Kansas City Chiefs. But somebody like Godshaw, he could be a player that the 49ers are interested in on the interior, mainly for his run defense. Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle, he might be available for a trade this year. So you can't rule any of these guys out. I know somebody's going to say something crazy and say Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans or DeForest Buckner of the Indianapolis Colts. Say, oh, that's all great. These are all names that we can talk about, but I'm not sure if they're realistic. You know, DJ Jones is a name that the 49ers, I think, would absolutely be interested in, but the Denver Broncos keep on winning football games. So that could compromise the availability on the other end when it does take two to tango. This is a big thank you. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Thanks, man. Now I can eat today. I appreciate it. Otherwise, would have been a little tough, but you're the man. And it looks like his name might be Dave as well, which is a good name. Here's a comment from KJ. This is interesting. This opens up a discussion. So this is funny to me. Lynch's biggest mistake was signing Jimmy G instead of drafting Mahomes. First, this is just not a fair argument to make. The draft cannot be evaluated on a pick-by-pick basis. It just can't. That's going to end up being a fool's errand every single time because the draft is a crapshoot. It's throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks. If people had any idea that Patrick Mahomes would be anything close to what Patrick Mahomes has become in the league, he wouldn't have dropped down to wherever he was picked. Where was he? Somewhere between 10 and 15, right? He would be the number one overall pick that year. The 49ers have drafted better than almost anybody since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took over the team. Maybe better than anybody. We'd have to do a full study because I know they've added some players via trade. But the bottom line is they've built an extremely solid roster, even though they've inevitably missed on key picks. There have been picks in the first round they missed on. There have been picks in the second round they've missed on. But they've built the roster primarily through the draft, and they've done a really good job. So saying that, oh, they should have drafted Mahomes instead of somebody else, you're not looking at the draft the way that you have to look at the draft when you evaluate it. You're looking at the draft through 2020 hindsight vision, which just isn't the way that it works. You don't know who's going to be good and who's not. You play the percentages, and that's why you have to look at the draft success as a whole. Let's look at all 50 49ers picks from the past few years instead of just one. And if they're doing well stocking the roster as a whole, they're doing well in the draft. So it's not really fair to say, oh, yeah, they should have drafted Patrick Mahomes. It really isn't. Two, Jimmy Garoppolo was not a mistake for the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo turned this team around in 2017. Trading for Jimmy Garoppolo was a good idea, and then signing Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018 was also a good move for the 49ers, and you can't argue that. Facts are facts in this situation. What happened that was bad for the 49ers was that Garoppolo got hurt right after he signed the contract in 2018. But even then, he stayed for the duration of that contract. He stayed with the 49ers for five seasons past that, right? 18, 19, 20, 2021, and 2022. The deal became good value for the 49ers. It was $27 million a year. I think by 2021, it ranked like number 13 or number 14. Maybe even by 2020, it ranked 13 or 14 in the league. And they had a top five efficiency offense whenever Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy. So at every single juncture of this, the 49ers did the best they could. You can't go back and selectively point at certain draft picks and act like that's some kind of indictment of the front office. They've built a really strong roster. They did the best that they could. And in the case of Jimmy Garoppolo, that's one of the more unfairly scrutinized players that I've seen in my time covering the NFL. He was an efficient quarterback for them. He just got hurt. And when they finally had an opportunity to upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo, when Brock Purdy set foot on the scene and showed, oh boy, this guy's the real deal, they did move on from Jimmy Garoppolo after the 2022 season. And Purdy took over. And now I think they've got that quarterback position set. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't the same after the injury. You're right, but Jimmy Garoppolo was always a good quarterback for the 49ers the whole time, especially when he was healthy. I mean, he was playing through a lot all the time, which ended up, you know, being one of the main reasons he's not with the 49ers anymore. But even hurt, he did a lot of good things for the 49ers, and those just aren't properly understood by a lot of fans and a lot of media too, which is really embarrassing that the media doesn't see this in the accurate way, but at least we're here, right? At least we're here to talk about it. Purdy is him. Yes. You just wish 2021 never happened, or what do you mean? Talking about the trade for Trey Lance? As Mike said, Jimmy walked so Purdy could run. Eric Gomes says, Jimmy G played through injuries, not a peep for him. Roy says, going to the Raiders was a mistake for Garoppolo. Yeah. I mean, going to the Raiders, that can hurt a lot of careers. The thing is that Garoppolo signed with the Raiders already hurt. His foot was broken against Miami. That opened the door for Purdy the year before. He wasn't healthy until like the season started for the Raiders that year, right? And so he missed training camp, and it was just a domino effect of bad stuff. But as time goes by, I think people will understand, because the noise and the emotions of the moment, the clickbait will get further away on Jimmy Garoppolo. They'll understand that he's a good quarterback for the 49ers. I want to show you guys a couple graphics here before I have to leave. We've talked about all the trade candidates for the 49ers. I want to show you some of the quarterback stuff from the past several seasons. So what we can do here, why don't we go from 2017, or I guess we can't put 2017 on there anymore, which is a little bit frustrating, because back when we could put 2017 on there, we were able to go back to the start of the Shanahan tenure with the 49ers. But if we went 2018 to 2022, so that was the Garoppolo era for the 49ers, we can rank quarterbacks by efficiency. Take a look at this. 2018 to 2022. Number one, Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs. Number two, Drew Brees for the Saints. The third most efficient quarterback in football, without including his really hot streak in 2017, was Jimmy Garoppolo. Look at all the other names in the top 10. Mahomes, Brees, Garoppolo, Rivers, Rodgers, Luck, Brady, Jackson, Burrow, Deshaun Watson. And that was Watson before Deshaun Watson was traded to the Browns. I know the Browns helmet's there. It's because he was with the Browns right now. But that was Watson playing for the Houston Texans. So Garoppolo was damn good for the 49ers. Now, you look at the EPA per play, it's 0.194. Remember that number. Now I'm going to reset the chart, and we're going to go 2022 to 2024. This is ever since Brock Purdy joined San Francisco. You guys ready for it? Number one in the whole league. Garoppolo is 0.194 over a larger sample. Purdy has taken that and turned it into 0.265 EPA per play. Significantly higher. He's also ranked above Patrick Mahomes. He's also ranked above Josh Allen. So Garoppolo was very good. Purdy is great. Very top of the league. Why don't we filter this by quarterbacks who have taken at least 1,000 snaps to make the chart at the top a little bit more readable? Purdy, obviously, still at the very top. Now, hopefully this... Here's our XY. So you want to be further to the right and further up. Brock Purdy way up here ever since he joined the league. Garoppolo was in a spot where like Jared Goff or Dak Prescott is on this chart from 17 to 22. Purdy from 22, since he was a rookie, is way up here. More efficient than Allen, more efficient than Mahomes, more efficient than anybody. So I think the 49ers front office has handled the quarterback situation quite well. Now let's see how they handle the trade deadline. My prediction is defensive linemen. Defensive tackle, you could use that. You could always use more bodies up on that defensive line if you're San Francisco. This is what I made for the San Francisco Standard. Darker colors are better on the right, so they've been performing well, but they can use more depth. They can use another linebacker if they can find somebody like that on the trade market. You can always make the football team better. And if those opportunities do present themselves, I would expect the 49ers ultra-aggressive front office to pounce. All right, it's been fun. I've got a roll. We'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks for watching.